Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. At some point in your life, even if you are of a younger age, you have experienced a time when you thought that you heard or saw something that made you terribly sad. That feeling of being let down hit you hard. But a moment later, you realize you were wrong. What you thought you heard or saw was not true. After all, you misunderstood the statement or the event. Your sadness quickly turned to relief in just a moment of time. At other times, though, you have witnessed something that truly was sad. And that down feeling hit you like a ton of bricks. Over time, that sadness dulled. Things got back to a better sense of normal. Then there are those moments that truly changed you from that point on. Turned your world upside down, you may still have not recovered from it. The sadness has not subsided, and it very well may not in this lifetime. We all go through this wide range of experiences of these emotions throughout our whole lifetime. Sadness can turn into relief or happiness. Quickly or slowly. But either way, sadness is bound to return. Loved ones get sick and die. Tragedies claim the lives so suddenly of those we love dearly, while others leave many scarred and affected the rest of their lives. Jobs come and jobs go. Relationships have their ups and their downs. Kids do not live up to our expectations, nor do we live up to theirs. Round and round we go, from sadness to happiness to sadness again. Such is the cycle of life in a sinful, fallen world. Adam and Eve most surely felt that when first they ate that forbidden fruit. They went from the full joy of perfect creation to utter despair. But a moment of time. Joy returned with the promise of a Savior from their sin, only to be dulled by their further sins, their own sins, that of their children, even their eldest son, killing their youngest. But also then the rest of the human race that would follow. Hundreds of years, Adam and Eve would live on, witnessing the aftermath of their doing, of introducing sin and death into God's perfect creation. Now, Jesus' disciples had been minding their own business, tending to the work that they had been given by God to do, and then along comes Jesus, to change their world forevermore, calling them to follow after him as his disciples. They witnessed him do the most amazing things never before seen by man, and to teach with God's own authority unlike any ever before. These disciples confessed before others that Jesus is the Christ, that long-awaited promised one of God. Their hopes for the future rose to an all-time high, far surpassing, I bet, any of ours today. If Jesus, this Jesus, truly was that Christ, and they were his closest disciples, then they had it made. Life would be great, better than great. There would be no stopping this group. I will not leave you as orphans. A little while and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me." What did he just say? At this celebration of the Passover, he was going to be leaving them. But why? God's Messiah is supposed to win the day. He is to usher in the new kingdom of David, long promised before, to sit on his throne forevermore. He would be the one to restore the grand kingdom to Israel. But Jesus told his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Why say such a thing? Because their hearts were about to be very troubled. What lay ahead for Jesus was beyond the disciples' comprehension. Their rabbi, their teacher, their friend was about to offer up his life willingly for the sins of all the world. He would be crucified, and all the world would see it. He would die, give up that life, breathe his last, and he would leave them alone as orphans. Or so it would seem. But they would no longer see him. Good Friday, darkness and death. True sadness would hit those disciples harder and faster than they could imagine. Judas could not handle this reality. The betrayer never returned to Jesus for forgiveness and ended his own life. 10 of the remaining 11 disciples of Jesus were nowhere near the cross when Jesus was crucified and died. Sadness mixed with great fear following Jesus' death, leading these disciples to lock themselves away in the place where they were staying. This reaction to Jesus' suffering and death was predicted by Jesus. "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." And Jesus, of course, knew what was coming. He was seeking to prepare his disciples as best possible. He wanted to warn them ahead of time of what was to come, to give them comfort in knowing that their sadness would not last forever. Jesus' death upon the cross would look like a victory to the devil and to the rest of this world, for Jesus had been labeled as a troublemaker in this world and done so by the Jewish leadership. He was the one to threaten to put an end to their supremacy of that great Sanhedrin establishment they fully enjoyed. Such could not be tolerated by those leaders. Jesus' death was then their triumph. The sinful world rejoiced as Christ hung dead upon the cross. For his followers, his friends, this was terrible news. And they did not know what to make of it. When Jesus gave his warning that day before, that indeed they would not see him. You and I, we faced similar situations as well. You know something bad is coming, and you try to think through every possible scenario to prepare for what is coming. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, you cannot predict it all. The same works for positive things too, thanks be to God. Quite often we are pleasantly surprised by how well we are treated or how smoothly a dreaded encounter actually goes. Without being able to fully understand, to know what is going to happen ahead of time, it is best simply to trust in God, that He will take care of all of it, for He does truly know what is best. And this is what His disciples got to experience. For them, Jesus' death upon the cross was unimaginably horrifying. And yet, into that locked room came and stood the once dead Jesus. They then were filled with great joy. Their teacher, their friend, was no longer dead. He was alive and he was well. And in addition to that, Jesus' resurrection from the grave means new life for all who trust in him. New life that knows no ending. New life that will be stuffed with joy immeasurable. The joy you get to experience for all of eternity, it will far surpass any struggles or any suffering you have had here. How can it not be that way? With eternity spent with our good and our gracious God. As we heard from the epistle reading, Revelation to St. John, new heavens and a new earth are coming when Jesus returns. All of God's creation, everything will be made new. All sin will be purged away. Evil will be gone. For good. You will never be tempted again. You will never worry or doubt again. No tears, no sadness, no pain, no suffering, no sin, no death. It is coming. The cycle of sadness to joy to sadness to joy will be ended. Your joy will never be interrupted. It's hard to believe such things because we know nothing quite like it. But the Lord Jesus knows it well, and he promises it all to you. A certain book was written 2004, seeking to inspire Christians to live better lives and to expect great things from God at all times in this life, achieving your fullest potential now. The book was called Your Best Life Now. Your best life now? Is that what you really want? Your best life ever in this life here? If that is true, if that is what you desire, that this is the best that it can be, then you are destined for hell. For there is no way that eternity in hell will be better than your life is here now. But dear friends in Christ, as a baptized child of God, your best life is still to come. It will far surpass this life in each and every way. For those with a rotten life, you can take joy in knowing that your worst life is now. For those with a good life, this is but a mere foretaste of that world still to come, an even better life, far surpassing our wildest dreams. But it is all because of Jesus. His death has destroyed death. His resurrection has restored you to life everlasting. And he alone will usher in the new heavens and the new earth. And most importantly, you will be with him in the greatest joy and the most perfect peace forever, without end. Amen. And the peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto that life everlasting. Amen.